What I want to focus on this morning is a very familiar question, which is, why are we celebrating Hanukkah? And hopefully learn something new about this. So if you read the Al-Hanisim, so the Al-Hanisim prayer that we say during the Shemone Esrei, during Birkas HaMazon, so what's the military victory? What's the miracle? It's the military victory, right? If you read the Al-Hanisim, it's all about the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, saw to it that we should defeat our enemies. But when you read the Gemara in Shabbos, what's the special miracle of Hanukkah? What? What's the miracle of Hanukkah? The oil, right? So that's like a famous question as to what are we emphasizing? We'll get back to that a little bit. In the Al-Hanisim prayer, it's all about the military victory. In the Gemara and Shabbos, so it's almost like the military victory is an afterthought. The Gemara describes how after we defeated the enemy, I guess in letter B, the Gemara says that we entered into the Mikdash, they only found one flask of pure oil, only for one day, to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, by the way, says that there's another reason why we are celebrating Hanukkah. What's the other reason? Not just the military victory, not just the miracle of oil. What's the third reason that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says? What? Beis HaMikdash, right. We rededicated the Chanukahs HaMizbeach or the Chanukahs HaMikdash, that there was a rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. It became impure. So Chanukah is the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, what's the real miracle? Why do we emphasize in the davening about the military victory? Why do we emphasize in the Gemara about the miracle of oil? And I want to focus this morning, for the few short minutes that we have, on the approach of the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua asks the question, if you think about it, that we're being friend with our very survival, and we defeat our enemies, and Baruch Hashem, we can live in peace. We can have free exercise of religion now that we defeat our enemies. The miracle of light is almost like icing on the cake. It's a beautiful light show. It's wonderful. But the real miracle is that we survived as a nation. So why does the Gemara emphasize? Why does the Gemara emphasize the miracle of oil, the miracle of lights? At the end of the day, it's beautiful. But at the end of the day, our survival is key, is critical. Even without the miracle of lights, it's our survival that's critical. So what's the miracle of lights all about? And what does the Pnei Yehoshua say? And he asks this question in source D. He says, V'lichora yesh li t'mua, you can ask, Kol Torah chanes Zelava, what's all this, the burden of this miracle? And what does he say? He says, Nira de Ikar Hanes, Lo Nase, Ella, Lahodia, Lohem, Chibas, Hamokum Aleihem. The purpose of this miracle was simply to show that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that God loves us. That's the purpose of this miracle, to show that Hashem loves us. Why would we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love us at this time? What's the reason that Pnei Yehoshua, anyone go through the Pnei Yehoshua? Why does he say that maybe we thought until now HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love us? Yeah? Because the Greeks were oppressing us. So the Greeks were oppressing us, but he says more than that. Why does the Pnei Yehoshua say that now that Hashem loves us? Because what stopped happening a little before the story of Hanukkah? Yeah? The Ner HaMaravi went out. The Ner HaMaravi went out. In other words, it's true. It's true that there was tremendous religious persecution. We defeat our enemies. But there's something special about the light, because the Ner HaMaravi started going out for what point in time? For what? Shimon HaTzadik. Who was Shimon HaTzadik? Where does his name come up besides the sources here? Anyone read Pirkei Avos? Who is Shimon HaTzadik? He was Mishiori Knesset Hagdola. He was one of the last members of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. Who were the Anshei Knesset Hagdola? They were the spiritual leadership in the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. And he was one of the last members. Anyone know what the after the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, who was the next? What was the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people called after that? Anyone know? Who were the leaders? I'll give you a hint. Anyone ever learned the Daf Yomi? Sanhedrin. Those are the spiritual leadership. In other words, in the beginning of the second temple period, beginning of the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the leadership was the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. And then Shimon HaTzadik, who was a Kohen Gadol, he was amongst the end of the Anshei Knesset Hagdola. And then, during his time, I brought you in Source E. The Gemara in Yoma describes how when Shimon HaTzadik was alive, he had all these miracles taking place. The Ner HaMaravi, the lamp in the Mikdash was always miraculously lit. The Gemara says that for the 40 years, Tanu Rabbanan, we'll read it inside a little bit, Arbaim Shana, for 40 years, Sheshibe Shimon HaTzadik, that Shimon HaTzadik served as a Kohen Gadol, Hoya Goral Oleb Yamin. Now, I take offense to this as being a lefty, but apparently it was more special that in the lottery in Yom Kippur, where you had two goats, and the better goat, quote-unquote, would be sacrificed, and the not-as-good goat would be thrown, right, as the scapegoat thrown off the cliff, and it was a special miracle. And the coin would draw lots, and if the lottery had, we picked up his right hand, then it said the goat on his right, that would go, Lashem would be sacrificed, that was better, and that always happened. And there were other miracles at the Gemara Yoma sites that happened when Shimon HaTzadik was the leader, and previously, another miracle, for example, is that the fire and the Mizbeach was always lit. Yet all these miracles that took place during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And what did this demonstrate, says the Gemara Yoma? This demonstrated Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was pleased with our behavior. After the death of Shimon HaTzadik, so then the Ner HaMaravi began to flicker. No longer do we have all these miracles. Why? Because when Shimon HaTzadik lived probably about 35 years before the Chanukah miracle, before the Chanukah story. And if you read a little bit about the history, a little bit preceding Chanukah, when we study the story of Chanukah, many of us just read about the miracle of Chanukah itself. But there's a story before Chanukah, there's a story after Chanukah. Before Chanukah, the leadership of the Jewish people were becoming increasingly Hellenized. After Alexander the Great conquers the Near East, and he brings Greek culture to every area that he conquers, including Eretz Yisrael, the Kohanim are becoming, and the leadership is becoming more Hellenized. The leadership is becoming more corrupt. And actually, many historians say that a unique difference between the Anshei Knesset Hagdola and the Sanhedrin, the next spiritual leadership of the Jewish people, was that the Anshei Knesset Hagdola were made up only of the upper echelons of society. And when Shimon HaTzadik sees that the leadership's becoming a little more corrupt, when Shimon HaTzadik sees that the Kohanim, unfortunately, are becoming a little more influenced by Greek thought, they're becoming a little more Hellenized. So he says we got to bring in perhaps a new type of spiritual leadership called the Sanhedrin, made up of not only members of the upper class, but also members of the middle class and the lower class society, those who were not necessarily so interested in power. And what's fascinating is that after the Chanukah story, you find this as well. During the Chanukah story, when Antiochus forbade the practice of Judaism entirely, so then you had the Achdus, you had the unity of the upper class and the lower class and the Kohanim. Everyone was unified, much like those pro-judicial reform, those anti-judicial reform. After October 7th, there was tremendous Achdus. So similarly, thousands of years ago, you had different groups of people and the Jews as well. But the story of Chanukah was a time when there was unbelievable Achdus between all the different classes.
and everyone joined together to defeat our enemies. What happens after the Hanukkah story? What happens after the Hanukkah story is you have different groups of people. You have some of you may have heard of this, the Perushim and the Tzidukim. What's the difference between the Perushim and the Tzidukim? What's the difference? Right, the classic answer is that the Perushim believed in Torah Shebaal Peh, the Tzidukim did not subscribe to Torah Shebaal Peh. But there is also another difference, that the Perushim or the Pharisees, they were individuals who were made up of, again, the lower, the middle class. They weren't necessarily interested in power. They're more the rabbis. They continue the tradition of those faithful to the tradition before the Hanukkah story. And the Tzidukim, the Sadducees. So they were individuals who were not only had a different view of oral tradition than the traditional view, but they're also individuals who were made up of the Kohanim and the high leadership. And they became much more Hellenized even after the Hanukkah story. In fact, there are five children of Matisyahu, the five Maccabee brothers. The last remaining leader was Shimon and his son, Yochanan Hyrcanus. During his reign, and the Gemara talks about it, some of the history books about it talk about it, during his reign, he began to side with the Tzidukim. And the grandson of the last of the Maccabean brothers, Yanai HaMelech, openly sided with the Tzidukim. So Hanukkah then emerges as this point in time when power did not corrupt, when there was unity, when there was achdus between upper and lower classes, between the Kohen and the sage, the Chacham, and we defeated our enemies. But ultimately, after the military victory, we won. We dedicated the Mikdash. Question, what's it all for? Is it for power? Is it for conquering more land? Is it so that the Kohanim should serve in the Mikdash? Chazal ultimately understood that victory over our enemies is specifically not about power, not about land. It's not even the ability to serve in the Mikdash when they created the rules and the holiday of Hanukkah. So let's go back to one of the original questions. Famous question. Famous question is, why in the Al-Hanisim do we focus on the military victory as the miracle? And during the Gemara, when the Chazal quote what it's all about, what was the miracle? It was the miracle of lights. So you have some answers, perhaps one of the most famous answers is the Maharal. The Maharal answers, not in the sources, but the Maharal famously answers that the real victory was the military victory. But, so that you won't say that it was due to my technological superiority, that perhaps, you know, we sold ancient pagers to the Greeks and that's how we defeated them, they exploded, and that, you know, due to our sophistication, that's how we defeat our enemies, comes the miracle of lights and tells you, here's an open miracle. The miracle of lights comes from God. So too the military victory comes from God. In other words, the Maharal says that the real victory that we're celebrating is the military victory. And the light show of the miracle of lights is simply a siman, an indication that just like that was an overt miracle, just like that came from God, so too the military victory comes from God. But maybe, you know, Rav Soloveitchik explains it a little bit differently. Soloveitchik explains in the very last source in letter F in Harei Kedem. He says, "V'tama davar de lo muskar l'neis de pach Hashem and b'tfilo birkas avos adira." What's the reason that we don't mention the miracle of lights of the oil in davening and birkas avos? And he says, "The birkas halda ein anu modim ala tavos aruchlias." When it comes to davening, when it comes to the Birkas HaBaal, so we're saying thank you Hashem. The most basic thank you is for our physical blessings, for our physical salvation. We only thank God for material welfare, and therefore we only mention the military victory. And I think when we're thinking about Hanukkah, and we're so grateful for this holiday, I think our first response, I think our first response when we think about Hanukkah should be, and our most instinctive response when you think about Hanukkah is, they tried to kill us, right? We defeated them, so let's eat fattening foods for 8 days, right? That's like our first instinct. Our first instinct is, not the last piece, but our first instinct is that we celebrate Hanukkah because they threatened to destroy us and we defeated them. But Chazal in the Gemara understood that when we take a deeper dive and think about what Hanukkah meant to our people, we understand that Hanukkah is ultimately about our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We understand that the holy light of menorah is actually everywhere. You know, the mitzvah to light the menorah is in our homes, not in shul. What we light in shul is a minhag, it's a custom. But Chazal deliberately, intentionally instituted that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, even though it happened in the Mikdash, even though the miracle happened in the Beis HaMikdash, they could have easily instituted that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah should be in the shul as a Mikdash Vat, as a miniature temple, but they did not. That's only a minhag. It's an important minhag, but it's only a minhag. The actual mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is in our homes. Why? Because when it comes to the light of Torah, everyone is equal in the eyes of God. That is the message of the Pnei Yoshua. It's lo'odia chibas hamakom, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. On Hanukkah, we celebrate the fact that the Shekhinah was with us when we sacrificed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It began to flicker after Shimon HaTzadik died, after the Jewish leadership became more and more Hellenized, and more corrupt, until we decided that we as a nation are going to put our life on the line for God. I believe that Hanukkah is the first time in world history when a group of people decided that they're willing to die for an ideal, that there's a value that's more important than life itself. I believe the first time in world history that a group of people decided to do that was in the story of Hanukkah. You know, in most societies, power emerges from wealth and political connections. But the story of Hanukkah suggests that the power for the Jew is based on Torah and values. We celebrate not in the temple, we celebrate in the home. We celebrate not in the areas of power, we celebrate each and every Jew in their home. When we ask the question, why do other empires rise and fall, and why not the Jew? As Mark Twain famously asked, what is the secret of our immortality? If it's based on the military can fall. We've seen nations fall. If it's based even on a temple, on a mikdash as the center, well, sometimes the base of mikdash could be destroyed. A temple anywhere of any religion could be destroyed. However, if our empire is ultimately based on values, if it's the right values, then we will never die. We will always survive. And I believe it is that which we celebrate on the holiday of Hanukkah. Thank you.